This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, sorta. We're not really doing our show today. We are in news talk mode today, sorta, kinda. I can't describe it. We're not exactly even doing a news talk show. We're doing something, but we ain't doing bits. And we're doing that for a very good reason. Some people may be a little bit worried, or some people's nerves may be frayed just a little bit today because of the discovery in Governor Pataki's, or one of the offices adjoining Governor Pataki's office in New York, in the New York governor, finding anthrax spores. And with each new case, people get a little wound up, and they probably aren't in the mood for too much shtick. So that's what we're doing. Tomorrow, back to the shtick. All right, now, Myra?
Yeah.
Now, what is concerning you? Go ahead.
Well, actually, it's not so much the anthrax and the smallpox. It's just the initial attack that occurred to us.
Yeah.
I think that it could have been prevented. I really
do. How would you have prevented that attack?
Well, I think that our CIA and our government should have been more aware of what was going on.
That's a good point.
And well, I mean, one plane is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Four planes, and there
That's
were more
lot.
Planes that were even going to be taken out.
There were what? Yes.
Yes.
Well, we stopped those.
Well, that's just the point I want to make.
Okay,
now
it was said after the
I'm very angry, as most Americans are. I'm upset. I still can't get over this. Nobody should.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you deal with feelings and so forth, but I have more anger right now with my government, and I shouldn't feel that way.
Just so you're not sending any anthrax through the mail, I'd really appreciate that.
No, I am
that.
Not
okay.
sending
right.
anthrax in the mail. I am upset with our government.
All right,
because
look, Myra,
I think we should have been protected.
Myra? When a nation is at war and when a nation is attacked, its enemies are going to find a way to attack it.
Exactly.
We did.
But can you believe that? We were attacked once before.
We were attacked by the Japanese. We were attacked by the Japanese in World War II, and we were
exactly,
we were attacked.
Yes.
Okay, Myra, shut up. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Shut up.
Well, I'll shut
just
up for
shut
a
up and just listen to me. When a country has an enemy hell-bent on attacking it, that enemy will find ways. Now, it's true our CIA had been pretty much dismantled in terms of its intelligence capability with regard to human beings over the last 10 years. We believed that technology was the way to go in the field of espionage. We find out now, much too late, that we needed warm bodies on the ground. We are now making those changes in our intelligence community. We are hiring more what we call spooks, spies. The fact that the government did foil an attempted bombing of Los Angeles International Airport on the eve of the millennium is an example of how we were at least vigilant in that regard. But the four hijackings that took place on the morning of September the 11th, you're right, we got caught with our shorts down around our ankles, and we paid a serious, serious price. Now, you can do one of two things. You can pick up the pieces, move on, see where you made your mistake, and put things in place to try to keep that from happening again. But we've got a double whammy right now. Not only did we absorb this attack, we are continuing to absorb attacks. We are a country at war. So we're trying to shore up our defense. We're trying to also stave off further attack. And in the meantime, we're trying to calm down people such as yourself, Myra, who want to lash out, and forgive me for using this analogy, I've used it before, some of us, not necessarily you, but some of us, like children who have been told that they can't have any candy after dinner, we run around and break things. We want to just run around and get mad and slam doors. Running around, getting mad, slamming doors, and breaking things right now isn't going to solve the problem. You want to be pissed with the government? You know what? We can be pissed, but when you're done being pissed, you're going to still be... No, you may not. I'm done listening to you. Because you got nothing to say, really, Myra, other than your initial question, which was really good. You can be pissed and you can be upset, but when you're done being pissed and you're done being upset, you're still stuck with the problem. What are you going to do? Now, Myra there is a classic example of what we call somebody who can't stay on point. That's kind of a little ADD thing going on there, Myra. Because I'm trying to answer your question, and you're, boom, you're jumping in on top of me with 15 more. You want to be pissed at the government? Be pissed, But one of these days, you're not going to be pissed anymore. Then what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with the government. You're going to have to solve that problem. You, Myra, can do your country a lot of good by just clamming up, going to work, doing your job well, and leave it to the other people that aren't exactly having to change their drawers every hour, if you know what I mean. You just do your job and shut up. I'm going to do my job, but I can't shut up. I'm a talk show host. I'm entitled to run a lot of hot air into the air, not you. All right, with all due respect to that lady, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There, I just answered her question. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. By the way, this is on our website. I thought you'd find this fascinating. Go check out philhendryshow.com. There's a plethora of interesting things there. There is our... The audio alone is worth the price of admission. To get a backstage pass, it's only $6.95. Our archived audio, our special flashback bits, our classic bits. It's some of the funniest radio that has ever been invented, man. But today we have something, the Miss Universe pageant, Miss America and Miss Afghanistan. Miss America, the lovely Kate Harmon, is sporting the swimsuit she chose for this evening's competition. Is the Miss America pageant tonight or... Nah. Anyway. Meanwhile, Miss Afghanistan is sporting the heavy smothering burqa as chosen, well, required actually, by the oppressive Taliban regime. Miss America is a junior at Portland State University, where she's advancing toward her master's degree in bioethics. Miss Afghanistan is forbidden from receiving any education at all and cannot read or write. Miss America has worked as a lab assistant at both the Oregon Health Sciences University and the University of Puget Sound. Miss Afghanistan is, well, she's forbidden to work, ever. Miss America's father is an engineer. Her mother works as a teacher. Miss Afghanistan's father was shot by a gang of Taliban militants, but her mother is alive and well, begging for scraps of bread since she cannot work or remarry. Miss America will be wowing the judges with the rendition of the Puccini aria O Mio Babbino Caro at the Miss America pageant. Miss Afghanistan has sadly bowed out of the talent portion of tonight's competition, as she's forbidden from singing or even listening to music of any kind. During her reign as Miss America, Kate's travels have taken her all over America for personal appearances and fundraisers. Miss Afghanistan cannot drive or be out there after dark, but she does leave her house occasionally when accompanied by a male family member. Miss America is an advocate for breast cancer research. Miss Afghanistan hopes she does not get breast cancer because she cannot be treated by a male doctor and, for all practical purposes, has no access to medical treatment of any kind. As Miss America, Kate is an eligible bachelorette. She can date, marry, or even divorce anyone she chooses. Miss Afghanistan is to be sold into an arranged marriage to a man who allegedly has two wives already, but she'll be treated to an execution by stoning if caught in the company of a male outside of her family. To guard against possible skin cancer, Miss America takes advantage of sunblock when she's enjoying a relaxing day at the beach. To guard against possible skin cancer, Miss Afghanistan is required to paint the windows of her house black, and her pale skin hasn't yet seen a ray of sunlight in years, thanks to that burqa. Thankfully, Miss America's lovely choice of swimwear fully meets pageant standards. She'd have otherwise been disqualified. Thankfully, the holes in Miss Afghanistan's facial mesh aren't too large. She'd otherwise have been flogged. As Miss America, Kate has the option of bearing as many or as few children as she likes one day, and in a country with one of the world's lowest infant mortality rates. Miss Afghanistan's several pregnancies will more than likely be forced, and one out of four of her children won't see her fifth birthday. Miss America will likely be quite eloquent tonight. She's majoring in a speech communication class at PSU. Miss Afghanistan will likely be rather quiet tonight. She's forbidden from speaking in public. And finally, Miss America is 21. Since the life expectancy for an American woman is around 80, she's still a rather young woman. Miss Afghanistan is also 21, but since her life expectancy is around 43, she's already middle-aged. That's Miss America and Miss Afghanistan, and I'm Mr. Phil. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we've got another phone call here as we deal with the latest anthrax stuff. Try to get everybody chilled out on the same page. And what is that same page we want to be on? Well, it ain't no end of the world, that's for one thing. And I don't know if you heard the president speaking this morning in Sacramento, that the country will prevail. And I like all of that positive talk, and I believe that. But I also believe that as citizens, we have to begin to understand that we're members of a community here. And if you're waiting for the government to do everything while you just sit and peer through the lace curtains there in your house, looking suspiciously at every dog catcher, postman, or arrowhead waterman that walks up the walkway, that ain't the way to live either. Here's Elaine on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base with you. I don't always agree with your position on politics, but I like your shtick, and I like your...
I don't think I always have a position on politics, but go ahead.
Well, I liked what you had to say about Russia. My issue with you is when you portray the militia as a bunch of pigs that say ma'am and have corn sticking out of their ears,
right.
You also, in reverse, portray those of us from the South as a bunch of ignorant people. And that bothers me much.
Why? Are all the militias from the South?
Well, when you go, ma'am, and stuff like that, that's what you're implying.
Hey, I come from California. You ought to go up to Bakersfield. Everybody talks that way up there, too.
Uh-huh. Well, I find that a little bit surprising, but I haven't been to Bakersfield.
Well, get the hell out of Texas sometime and come on out and see the country. And you can go to, I'm telling you, go to upstate Minnesota. You have never heard such a twang in your life.
Your southern drawl is genuine?
What?
Is your southern drawl genuine? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that there is a certain kind of rural accent that is unmistakably American, and it isn't necessarily southern.
Okay, so you're not meaning that to sound like a corn pone pun at the people.
I'm saying that a lot of members of the militia, I think militia is basically anti-urban, number one. I think that militia movement out there is anti-urban. So, yeah, it's corn pone. It's countrified. It doesn't necessarily mean it's Southern. You got them in every state in the Union. You've got some of the most virulent forms of anti-government organizations in the Pacific Northwest, which is about as far from the South as you can get. A whole lot of folks up there with big beards, overalls, those really nice Pendleton work shirts, and folks up around here, folks' business is nobody's but their own. That kind of an attitude.
But don't you see, you're kind of portraying people in these stereotypes.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm profiling. I'm a big believer in it.
Okay, well,
is that okay
when
with you?
You profile and you take those broad sweeps, then you catch those of us who are urbanized and live in cities like
Houston. Wait a second. I said that militias are basically anti-urban, so what have you got to do with it?
Well, because when you use that dialect to me, it sounds like you're including me.
Hey, you know what? If you're offended, Elaine, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but it just so happens that in the midst of my profiling of certain militia types, my net might go out and catch a few people. I don't mean any offense by that. But you're just going to have to deal with it. You know, you're going to have to deal with it because I'm not going to back off of it. Just as I said to an Arab person who called my show last week, they said, you know, it's not fair that we're being profiled. I said, you know, it's not fair, but right now our country is in a crisis situation. So if we happen to profile you, if you happen to get stopped, if you happen to get questioned, we're sorry. We didn't mean to inconvenience you. You can move along now. But a little bit of that's going to happen.
I agree with that. But in the
you agree with that. But when it comes to profiling certain militias being Southern, you don't agree with that?
But when you do say those things, you also qualify them by saying, you know, hey, we recognize that these folks are out there who aren't. And I'm just saying that, you know, there's those of us with accents down here who aren't a bunch of corn pones militia people either.
I know that.
All right. Just wanted to make that point.
Yes. Well, okay, Elaine. See you later. But I can't stand listening to your accent anymore. I'm sure you understand. All right. Yeah, all this down here. You know, there's just a little bit of that goes a long way, okay? 1-800-449-8686, and Elaine's gone, so who are we going to next? Going over here to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. The point I want to make tonight ties into one that you made about how limited bin Laden actually is in terms of what he can do, and that is that every target he seems to be picking, and the pattern is emerging, seems to be picked because it has a recognizably American headline in the Middle East or someplace where people don't know a lot about America.
Mm-hmm.
He's going for things like American media, American airlines, somebody who's connected to the government. Why does he not
American Broadcasting Company.
Right. He doesn't do CBS, but NBC, National Broadcasting Company, sounds like it's connected to the government. So the targets seem to be one.
What about Microsoft?
Microsoft is probably the most recognizable American company there is. And
well, why couldn't a domestic group be as involved in these kind of headline-grabbing organizations targeting them?
Oh, I believe a domestic group could, but look at what the domestic group did. They hit Oklahoma City. In other words, for instance, we know that they cased the Space Needle. Why did they do that? Washington State. It sounds like Washington, D.C. We know it's not, but people overseas don't.
Hey, man, it's pretty far out what you're saying. You know, and first of all, what you're saying is these attacks occurred primarily for the benefit of people overseas.
And I think they did, because that helps him recruit.
Well, I was given to understand he already had a formidable army.
He does, but he needs more. He needs more dollars to come in. He needs more.
So, in other words, if he'd attacked CBS, it wouldn't have had anywhere near the impact.
Right. He needs to put
How come
that
they
American...
hijacked United Airlines? How come United... they flew it into the World Trade Center?
United States of America.
What about World Trade Center?
That is.
And
the most
one other question, Mark. How late did you stay up last night tying all this stuff together?
It's been developing over time.
Okay, thank you. Give me a freaking break on that one, too. I ain't gonna... Look at this. Craig's digging that. I ain't gonna let that guy... What the hell is he talking about? United Airlines, United States of America, American Airlines, America. What's World Trade Center? I didn't give him a chance to answer. I hung up at him. Well, okay. Guy isn't perfect. Now, what about... what was the other one he said? Washington State, because they were targeting the Space Needle. The Pentagon, I guess because it's in Washington. Can't we just say... He went after highly visible American institutions and symbols. Can't we just all get along on that one? Or does it have to have some serious ass code that doesn't make any difference anyway? In other words, look at you can hijack it. So in other words, hey, I can only get Gulf Air, man. Well, screw it. Then we can't fly it into the. It's not going to work out. Look at I can only hijack Southwest. Is that going to work? No. Get an American Airlines, United. Oh, come on. I'm sorry, you got to either fly American or United in there. It's not going to... What about Delta? Nope. Pretty far out, baby. All right, let's go over to Scott. Scott, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good, good. Hey, I was wondering something. How long do we have to sit here and not joke about it?
Well, let me give you the professional perspective, okay?
Okay.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a field service engineer.
Okay.
I travel a lot. I fly about 200 segments a year.
Right. You can joke about it anywhere and anytime you want to, Scott. If you're talking about me and my show,
right.
What I do is I try to each day gauge what has happened in the news. Since we've had an active war declared against us on September the 11th, we've had a lot
right.
of things happening. We've had a lot of people scared, and we've had a lot of people who need information. So we're traveling on any given day on a track that the American people are traveling on a track where they need information and they need clarity. And those are the days when comedy and shtick have to take a back seat. And I have to just figure out which days are which. Yesterday we did shtick. Today we're doing this. Tomorrow we'll probably go back to shtick, depending upon how well things have been, you know, how well things went overnight. No more anthrax turning up in offices. I don't know. But there isn't a finite number of days, because I could go three more days doing shtick and then boom, something else happens, and then I got to go back into news talk mode.
I think America could use more comedy.
Yeah, and, not right. Yeah, America could use more comedy, but America could also use more information and clarity. Today, they could use more information and clarity.
Right. Well, hey, along those lines.
Yeah, I
got to
go. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendry.
You know, the American people have always been screwy. Don't think that we're the first generation to come up with screwball ideas about how things happen. We are the first generation to have this thing called talk radio, the internet, and this incredible ability to communicate with each other, and the incredible ability to spread misinformation and disinformation. And so we have to be smarter than preceding generations, which I think for the most part we probably are. There's that Snopes site, which is a husband and wife team who have a website debunking and essentially shooting full of holes all these urban myths that are flying around concerning September the 11th. And they've been doing a pretty good job of it. There's also Truth or Fiction. And we're just a little bit smarter. We're more experienced with bullcrap artists, probably, and everything that they might be trying to spread. There was a time, however, that we didn't have talk radio, and we didn't have the internet, but we also we didn't have the ability to the ability to shoot full of holes these rumors, but we also didn't have the ability to spread them. So what was the next best thing? Letters to the FBI. You got it. And if you go to any search engine and enter in, say, the name Hitler and FBI, you will find an FBI website where they deal with declassified, posted there on the internet, declassified documents having to do with Hitler. And the most interesting are the letters that the FBI received after the end of the Second World War from average citizens, some of them handwritten, some of them typewritten, some of them with the most glaring misspellings and grammatical errors, claiming to have seen Hitler in the United States. One I will never forget, it was a handwritten letter from someone who saw Hitler near a coffee shop in Hollywood, California. And he had just come from a casting call for Bedtime for Bonzo. And anyway, no, I'm kidding about that. But they did say that they saw him near a coffee shop in Hollywood. Another letter from someone who knows a man who shined his shoes in New York. Another person who swears up and down that Hitler was observed getting off of a submarine in Argentina, and on and on and on. And it went. And the FBI has all of these, has retained all of these, and now posts them on the internet for you to see. Crazy, wild thing. Now, can you imagine if we had the communication in 1945 that we have today? People jumping on the radio. Yeah, I seen him bowling over here. Hitler? Yes. All right, sir. Thank you. I don't know what to say about that, folks. There was a man who says that he saw Adolf Hitler bowling, and I'm sure our law enforcement can get on that, okay? Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Yes. My understanding is that he's living in an apartment. He's an iron worker now in Cleveland.
Really? Is that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you for your call. Thank you for your contribution. It would have been nuts, man. As it was, it took years, years for people to finally let it sink in that Hitler was dead, that he had died from cyanide and a gunshot wound, that he was carried into the garden there of the bunker complex in Berlin, and his body was set afire along with Eva Braun's by his chauffeur. Now, that was testified to by the chauffeur. Burned corpses were found by the advancing Russian troops that entered Berlin. And the rest of it is a lot of hooey. I mean, nobody's ever been able to prove anything other than that. But it took years, even without all the rumor-mongering and the disinformation and misinformation that we would have the ability to do now. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Rolando on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Good. I love what you're doing with the show, keeping us informed.
Thank you.
Without the extra curriculum from the news.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Phil,
man. What's that?
You're welcome.
Oh, Phil, I have an idea. How about if you say Jay Sanders and his boys over to get Bin Laden?
Yeah, Jay's volunteering to go over. And let's see, who's going to finance such a trip? Is he doing it at Priceline.com or something? He's getting some low airfare?
All right, Phil.
Okay, brother. Thanks.
Thanks.
See you later. I like the guy's laughing at his own concept. It's pretty good. Jay is on his way to Afghanistan. He's going to do something about that. Yeah, he's going to do the three-step takedown on Bin Laden. He's going to walk up to Bin Laden while one of his sub-corporals kneels behind Bin Laden and go, "Hey, look, there's an airplane." Bin Laden will look, and then he'll push him and fall over the guy who's kneeling behind him. And then we'll get him on a chopper, and we'll get him back here, and all's well that ends well. Dan, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Fine.
I sort of lost my concentration on that last call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm kind of disappointed with Americans. They're wanting to be coddled by the government. They expect them to be protected from every single thing. And I don't think many of them realize what really war is all about.
Well, you have a reasonable expectation to be protected from attack by a foreign power.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But like you said, if the enemy wants you, they're going to get you or somehow. I mean,
well, they're going to have their victories, and we're going to have ours. And it's who wins the war, not the battles necessarily.
Exactly.
Now, but my essential point to that lady was, hey, look. You can sit here and scream and yell about how the government didn't protect you on September the 11th. You know what? You're still here. It's like 6,000 other people that ain't. So why don't you count your blessings in that regard, number one. And number two, consider that the government makes mistakes and that it learns from those and that the security measures have been implemented since then and that we sort of move on logically, logistically, intelligently, in protecting the country. And being angry about it isn't doing anybody any good, because you can be pissed, scream and yell, get on the phone and yell at your congressman. It's still going to be, the problem's still going to be here. And maybe we're learning that with this anthrax thing. And the anthrax thing, like all the other threats that we've heard coming from bin Laden, is a lot more smoke and mirrors than it is a serious, serious threat to our security. The attack on the World Trade Center was serious. But since then, I've been listening to those guys over there with the Al-Qaeda and the bin Ladens and the all of their little ragamuffin bunch screaming and yelling about what they're going to do if we do this and do that or something else. And it's a propaganda war, and it's a war of terror. That's waged psychologically. As far as the anthrax goes, one person is dead. Three or four have been infected. Everybody else doing fine, baby. 1-800-449-8686. This is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. I was just calling about the guy who's a couple hours back was concerned about the band Anthrax, mixing it up with the whole anthrax scare, and I thought I'd entertain those people with some more thoughts about the Tampax anthrax.
Okay, that's why we try to limit our phone calls from the South. Anyway, 1-800-449-86. I'm joking around. Kinda. Dennis, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I wanted to know what your feeling was. I don't want this to sound the wrong way, because I love my country and I've served my country for a couple of years.
Is this Aaron Brown calling?
No.
Go ahead.
How do you feel about all this patriotism? You know, I look around, I see everybody's got a flag and all this. I just don't understand why it took something so extreme as to what happened for everyone to show their, pride in this country.
Well, it did. You don't understand how it happens that way? If we're attacked, if your family, for instance, is attacked, if you lose a loved one, if you lose a family member, if your home burns to the ground, I think it's a normal thing to begin to appreciate what you had and what you can lose. And so it was with America. I mean, we saw what happened to our country. It was the last thing from our minds that morning when a lot of us got out of bed. It happened, and it suddenly brought to mind how fragile life is and how we can lose this country. And so people, I think, are being very honest. I think they're waving those flags from a really honest place. They got scared. They realized they could lose this country, and we can if we don't start being smart. And that, to me, that's a totally normal reaction. And now what are you doing? Are you waving a flag or anything? Or
yeah, like I said, I'm the normal American. I have a flag out in front yard, you know.
So, but you, your feelings for America haven't changed at all since before September 11th to today.
No, like I said, I was prior service United States Navy, so.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people, most people, I would bet, just don't work that way, man.
I understand.
They just don't, especially in this country where really, one of the perks of living in America is not having to think all the time about waving a flag. I guess you could call that a perk. It's like you have the luxury of being an asshole in this country. You have the luxury of critiquing and, I'm alienated, man, and government doesn't mean anything to me. I do my own thing. And, you know, we have the luxury in this country to say, those Congress people are a bunch of bozos. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Since this happened on September 11th, every time I think of the people that I admire the most, they're all government workers. From the firefighters and the cops to the Congress people who have gotten on television night after night after night to try to calm people down, who've stayed late to pass economic stimulus packages, emergency funding packages, airline bailout packages. You know, I don't care if I sound somehow out of it or ill-informed or not quite tuned in the way some people are, but some of the greatest patriots that I've seen since September the 11th have been these people who work in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. That's right, I said politicians. What are you going to do about it? Because I ain't seen anybody else. I see a lot of flag waving going around, but I see our soldiers, our firefighters, our politicians, our policemen, all people pulling a government paycheck, have been some of the strongest, most admirable people that I have seen. And one of the greats, Mayor Giuliani, pulls a paycheck from the city of New York. These people have come through big time. And if I were one of those really self-aggrandizing talk show hosts, I'd say something along the lines of, somebody's got to say it out loud. I think I will. Politicians have been pretty cool lately. They have led. They have. I've been, frankly, very impressed. They've led with calm. They've led with a clarity. They've led with a sober. The only panic that I've been hearing has been coming from people walking in here and taking phone calls every day, doing a talk show. You know, sometimes, guys, I know this is going to come as a horrible shock. Sometimes, even politicians can be patriotic and can do their job well and can come together for the good of the country. And that's been going on. If there's anything missing at all, it's that the people of the country right now are still reeling, are still frightened, and seem to be having a hard time finding their focus and footing on this thing. I'm not saying that we are all scattered to the wind. I'm saying that we've got a good energy going. We've got a nice patriotic thing happening. We got a good love of country going. But these people in Washington, our cops, our firefighters, whoever, they need our support, our active support. When the president says, or when anybody says, you know, it isn't just the police, and it isn't just the CIA, and it isn't just the FBI, it's every citizen doing their part, that means something specific. It means concentrating a little less on yourself and focusing a little more on the world around you and the country around you and the place you live and pitching in a little bit to help out. Doesn't mean that you got to pay more in taxes, although maybe it will. Doesn't mean that you got to, you know, spend 3-4 hours a day volunteering on a soup line, but maybe it will. I don't know. It means it's time for all of us to kick in a little bit. I got nothing bad to say about the people, the men and the women who go to work every day under that Capitol dome in Washington, because I've seen those people perform admirably. And anybody that says they haven't is a tired, shop-worn, worn-out, has-been talk show host or talk show caller that can't think of anything to say. I mean, has completely lost any ability to think originally. I mean, I realize that I work in a business where the original thought is few and far between, but anybody that would have the temerity to say that those people in Washington aren't doing enough right now ought to get the thumb out of their ass and take a good, long, hard look at what's going on in Washington and start doing a little bit more themselves and encourage their listeners to do the same thing. I heard a guy on the air this morning. I couldn't believe this. This is how desperate some guys are to have something to talk about. Hey, what was that baby doing in that ABC newsroom anyway? What are people doing bringing their kids to work? This is what this jackass was spending an hour talking about on his show. Hey, Charlie, I hate to break the news. Well, maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you can't have kids. I don't know. You bring your kids to work. I do. It's a time-honored American tradition to bring your kids to work so they can see what daddy or mommy does for a living. Hey, excuse me. The guy wasn't aware. He didn't get the news flash from Dionne Warwick's psychic hotline that there was anthrax in the newsroom that day, like I'm probably sure you did. That's the only thing we got to learn. Got to back off these people that are dancing as fast as they can in Washington right now. And this government, even in the best of times, has got 85 billion people pulling them 85 billion different directions. We got to start kicking in. Be aware. Help the police. Watch your mail. Encourage the people that represent you. Support whatever military strikes seem appropriate for our country to take against this bin Laden scumbag and everybody associated with him. Keep wearing bikinis. Drink more beer. Spend more time at the beach. Get on a damn airplane already.
Oh, well, I will, Phil, if you do first.
Oh, okay, I will. Coming soon, we'll be announcing a major road trip. Quit thinking of yourself so much, because that is what got this country into that mindset that that guy was talking about who just called. He says, how is it people all of a sudden are patriotic? Because all we thought about before September the 11th was ourselves. And that's got to end. Okay, that's about as dramatic as I can think to finish that little line of rap. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, so CNN wants to ask bin Laden a series of questions, and here they are. CNN has posted these questions that they would like to ask bin Laden on their website. They, I think, are just making some kind of an offer to anybody that will submit the questions to bin Laden. Someone claiming to represent Al-Qaeda has asked Al Jazeera and CNN to submit written questions for Osama bin Laden, questions they say bin Laden will answer on videotape and send back to Al Jazeera. This proposal came in to Al Jazeera, which then notified CNN. CNN has some questions that they would like to put to Osama bin Laden, and here they are. One, your spokesman has praised the September 11th. Before I go into this, because it's not even really all that important, now the guy wants CNN to ask him some questions. This dude wants some more FaceTime on TV, don't he? Why give it to him? So he now is saying, I would like to answer questions, and if you'd like me, he needs a propaganda arm. He needs somebody to ask him some questions. Screw these questions. I'm not going to read them. CNN, if you ask this guy any questions, you're showing your true colors, okay? It just proves you're as nervous as Aaron Brown. Just shows you're a bunch of nervous Nellies like that guy that does your morning news. No, he wants some pub. He wants a little FaceTime. And he shouldn't give it to a man because he's asking this Al Jazeera. He's asking CNN. He's going to try to get on Rosie. CNN says that even if he answers them, they still may not air them. Is that right? Oh, that's bull crap. Okay, with that uplifting positive note, this is The Phil Hendry Show.